Welcome to Guerreras Podcast, the show where we talk about Latinidad, reproductive justice, and politics. I'm your host, Aurea, and today's show is to talk about what's been happening in our country and communities a year post-Dobbs. I'm joined by Brenda and Serena, who are both youth fellows with Jane's Due Process. I'm sure that if you're listening to the show, you know who Jane's Due Process is, an incredible organization that has done so much good for the state of Texas, but also for a lot of us in the movement as activists and advocates who learn from some of the best people on the ground doing this. If you're listening to us right now and you're like, I actually haven't heard about the organization, Jane's Due Process is a Texas-based organization that helps young people navigate parental consent laws and abortion bans to confidentiate, well, even I'm having trouble with today's episode because they do so much great work, but to access abortion and birth control. Jane's Due Process was founded to help Texas teens, like I said, navigate judicial bypass, but a lot of the changing landscape that's currently happening across the country. Texas, back in 2021, was a huge part of what mobilized a lot of the rest of us states to put in protections into law to ensure that folks in our communities could access abortion care. SB 8, which was signed into law in September of 2021, cost a lot of harm. And honestly, it's one of those tall tales of what can happen if we do not support and engage the communities that for decades have been sounding the alarm that Roe could be overturned, that decisions like Dobbs could happen in the year 2021. And then fast forward 2023, you know, today's episode is really to talk about what young people are seeing in Texas, what they're seeing across the country, to really be the storytellers because they will be the leaders of this movement for years to come. But you don't want to listen to me. You want to listen to our guests. So I'm passing it to you, Brenda, to introduce yourself and welcome to Guerreras.
My name is Brenda. I am a former client from Jane's Due Process. And I got into this work because I saw how difficult it was for me being underage and like a month from graduating to get an abortion, how difficult it was. So I want to make it easier for any other teen to access abortion.
I am Serena. I am also a Jane's Due Process Youth Advocacy Fellow, as well as a former client of Jane's Due Process, right? I have always been very passionate about everyone being able to exercise their reproductive rights for as long as I can remember. I'm very passionate about that. And, you know, I've always been passionate about young people, especially minorities. Me being an Afro-Latina, it's important that, you know, we have a voice and that we're able to advocate for ourselves and our bodies. So once I became a pregnant teen, I became even more passionate about the reproductive rights space. And you know, it's completely okay to advocate for yourself and for your body.
Guerreras is a Latina-led, ran, and owned platform with the intention to inspire a new generation of chingonas to lead their community to collective liberation. But I cannot do this work without you. This podcast, its newsletter, and digital creation is only possible by the support of people like you. So please buy some merch or support this channel by subscribing, following us on social media, or sharing an episode with another Guerrera. For more information, visit guerreraspodcast.com. Now, back to the episode. Realizing that a lot of the folks that are in this work have these stories that for some people that may listen to, you know, the facts about how many people are being disproportionately impacted by bans or restrictions, they think they are a number. They don't actually put names to faces. They don't recognize the issue of that kind. But by being here, you are. And by the work that you are doing, you are putting names to faces, experiences, stories. I mean, truly the list can go on. So what drew you both to Jane's Due Process? You both shared that you are former clients. Could you let listeners know what that means or how you even heard about this organization to begin with?
When I found out I was pregnant, I just went to Google, like everybody else. That led me to Planned Parenthood, which I gave them a call, try to get as much information as I can, because that's the type of person I am. I tend to try to do a lot of research, and that led me to calling them and getting all the information, which was interesting, because once I asked them about how I could afford it, or if I'm even able to get an abortion, they informed me that they weren't allowed to give out that information unless I asked specifically, which is surprising because information should be given to anybody. It should be free for everybody. So they led me to James Due Process, which is where I got my attorney. Her name was Irma. She helped me with getting my judicial bypass. And after that, I didn't really look into my trauma that I experienced it. It was just one and done kind of thing. But that's when they reached out to me, informing me about all these programs that I could get into so I could help in this, I won't say journey, but into this kind of work in order to help other people to get abortions and be able to have access to them, since they knew that I wanted something that involves that. I wanted to help others get access to abortion because what I went through was traumatic for me, and I cannot imagine how traumatic it was for other people.
First of all, thank you for sharing, because a lot of people, I'm sure, don't even know that this is a circumstance for a lot of young people and a lot of people in these years, that this is the reality about going to a local clinic or having to Google where to find this information when they themselves are trying to navigate this space alongside with us. And how about you, Serena? What led you to Jane's Due Process?
Well, I would say I had a similar story as Brenda. You know, I found out that I was pregnant as a teen, and I had no money, no knowledge about, you know, where to get an abortion, how to get an abortion, et cetera. Went on Google looking for, you know, free abortions for teens, right? And Jane's Due Process popped up. And, you know, I did the intake form. They reached out to me. And initially, that's how I got involved. They helped me through the judicial bypass process when it was still in place here in Texas. And after that, you know, I was no longer pregnant after being able to talk to a judge about my situation, about my circumstances, my, you know, religious mom, and, you know, everything that was going on at that time. They understood and they granted me permission to get an abortion for me, right? So it sounds crazy talking about it, but that's essentially how things went. And later on, JDP, they reached out, asked if I wanted to get involved more with the youth advocacy and telling my story. And now we're here.
And now you are here telling your story. And that is absolutely correct, that advocating for and centering the voices of young people is critical for this fight for reproductive rights. It is exactly the work that you do, but I am sure that the work that a lot of us have to do to ensure that the fight doesn't just stay silent by somebody else deciding how you live your life and what you can do with your own body. And you mentioned something really important that folks need to continue to understand, the economic obstacles that there are for seeking care as well. It isn't, I don't have $700 lying around if I want to go get surgical abortion or money for mifepristone. And depending on what state I'm at and depending on what zip code I'm at, of how close I am to a clinic, right? I'm in Colorado. We have 5 counties that don't have a community clinic. The nearest one is like 20 miles. Like, do you have a car? Do you have bus fare? What if you have a child? Do you have access to childcare? And folks are like, oh, right, that's a thing that we need to think about when we create solutions. And I am talking here to 2 experts that not only in the work that you do, but leaders in this that firsthand have faced the economic obstacle, the judicial bypass, the legal obstacle that it is. And for folks that are listening, do a quick Google about what this all means as well. Do your due diligence about learning about what a lot of states have, which is the judicial bypass, but also why Jane is called Jane, because I don't want to give them all the information this episode. I want them to look it up. I want them to engage with your content. But again, going back to it, being the experts of your story and the individuals at the forefront, we are talking now a couple of days before the And I hate calling it the anniversary or commemoration or anything like jubilee, like anything that has that joyful tone. Because I was just having a conversation with a friend and I'm still processing the grief of what happened last year with the Dobbs decision. And I'm sure being a young person in Texas, you've been grieving since SB8 and even before that, because, you know, the our reproductive rights movement isn't just about abortion. It's about immigrant people. It's about our young Black people, young trans people. It impacts more than just those that are seeking access to care. A year after the overturning of Roe, we have research that says that Latinas are the most disproportionately impacted group across the nation as a cause of abortion bans and restrictions. This means that millions of us are at risk of carrying an unwanted pregnancy, suffering complications due to childbirth, and fearing for the safety of our autonomy. Guerreras is unapologetically a reproductive justice podcast that believes in abortion access and to ensure you have all the information you need about making whatever decision is best for you. Visit our website, guerreraspodcast.com, and click on the tab Punk Rock, where you can find national organizations on the ground ensuring that you have access to an abortion anytime, anywhere, on your own fucking terms. There is nothing more punk rock than abortion liberation. Visit our website today and share the resources with a friend. We're nearing the 1 year. And how are you doing? How has this past year been like? And I know it is a very heavy and loaded question that I'm asking you, but even I don't have a better way to pose it. How has the past year been?
I mean, for me, it's just very disappointing to know that this is what reality is like, especially for, you know, young Latinx teens, knowing that our situation was hard a few years ago, but, you know, it wasn't as hard as it is now. So it's just crazy to think about. You know, I thought that we didn't have the best access to abortion care when the judicial bypass was in place, but now it's just absolutely worse. And I fear for, you know, young teens in the position that we were in a few years ago, because it's hard. It is. It's hard out here. So just hoping for the best. And
bouncing off what Serena has said, I am devastated. For me, I got my abortion right before SB8 was put into effect, and I was not aware of all the circumstances that came with that. So knowing what I had, the loops I had to jump through, and now knowing that there's more added to it, it's devastating. I don't even want to think about it because that's how heartbreaking it is for me. Because now I know that teens will have to be moving out of state and how it could take a toll on them, especially if they're going to school or college and having to juggle all of that around. It's too much for young people to be dealing with. And it gets me so enraged as well, because it's infuriating. But on a brighter side, it does power me to try to do better and actually try to put myself more out there to fight for what I believe is right and to make it easier for people to have access to abortion instead of jumping through all of these hoops.
The grief part that you speak of, the rage, the anger, the disappointment even that we're having to have this conversation at this time and place is something that I want folks that have been ignoring this fight to actually listen to. Some folks are like, well, it doesn't impact me because I live in a state where that's never going to happen, or I have the means to be able to make a decision for myself. And I am so heartbroken that is truly the reason why some people ignore this subject, a subject that is so critical to our autonomy as people. And as, you know, as Latinas, we have lived in a reality without Roe. Latinos have lived in a reality where Roe was not made for people like us. It was not meant to protect us. Legality does not mean access. It does not mean equity to those resources. And when Dobbs came out for me, one of the first press calls I got was, well, what does the Latino community think about this? How are they being impacted? You know, I had to take a step back because it was just fury immediately, right? Like, is that seriously the question you're asking me right now? Like, you're asking me how we feel? Like, well, we've lived in this reality now. White people get to experience what this is like, right? Now they're getting impacted by it because they're like, whoa, wait. I thought it was like for somebody else, not really us. Like, are you for real right now? And I was like, yeah, now we're in not even an equal playing field. You're just feeling an ounce of what the past couple of decades have been for communities of color, immigrant communities. I felt disappointing that once again, we had to convince a larger audience about our existence, about why this was such a heartbreaking moment in history, and how young people are having to grow up in a world without Roe, in a country truly where it's already hard enough being part of our community, trying to convince somebody else of our existence. And now you're telling me we have to convince them of our autonomy and our bodily decision and what we want to do. And seeing that the organization that you are both part of is an incredible resource for folks that are trying to just even have this conversation about abortion care and reproductive health care access, I want to get a little deeper as to what led you to this work. When did you first learn about, it can be reproductive health care or it can be about abortion? I can tell you, I vividly remember the day when I heard about the word abortion. I was like, what is that? But how about you all? When did you both learn about this?
For me, I barely got information on it when somebody I knew got pregnant. And well, I won't say unfortunate for them because they made a choice that they wanted. They had their child and I was really close with this person. So I saw how difficult it was for them to raise the child. And when I went to go get my judicial bypass and I have to talk to the judge and convince them that I was mature enough to get my abortion, they asked me so many ridiculous questions and tried to persuade me to have this said child. They would tell me, you know, you could give birth and put it up for adoption. You know, the government can help you pay. And I was just looking at them and seeing like, oh, what did you do to help this person that I knew? You didn't help them. You said you had all these programs, yet this person is spending hundreds of dollars on daycare because they still wanted to go to school. With my family, my mom was originally from Mexico and she had to cross the border to get here to get a better life for her children. So for me, it was such a big deal because growing up with her, she would always tell me, if you get pregnant, that's it. I'm disowning you. I came all the way over here just for you to throw your life away. That's not right. And she'll tell me all this stuff while I was growing up. So I couldn't face her and tell her, hey, that her favorite star pupil child got an abortion. So it was very difficult for me to try to hide that from her, especially now that I know how hard it was for her because she only spoke Spanish, like you were saying earlier. If I put myself in her shoes and she would have wanted abortion, she doesn't know how to speak English. She understands it, but she could barely speak it. So I cannot even imagine how hard it would have been if I was her in her shoes wanting an abortion. Yeah, from that's when I first got introduced to it, but I didn't know how difficult it was until I myself was put into that situation where I had to access for an abortion.
In a previous episode, I spoke with a friend of mine about these obligations that immigrant daughters have, that we have for our families. And, you know, from crossing the border and all of these things that I did for you, and now you throw it away to when you mentioned like that star pupil daughter. I mean, I got chills because I remember the day when my mom and I moved to the States when I was 13 with her. And she's like, you can't do anything to put this move at risk. You have to do well in school. You can't get in trouble. You can't get pregnant. And she gave me these list of things that I couldn't do, that couldn't happen to me, that would put us at risk of of being discriminated against or targeted for being immigrants. I didn't realize until you share that right now that I too have gotten that talk from my mom, that if you got pregnant, you threw everything I gave for us, and how that is such a weight on our shoulders as Latinas, as people in this movement, but also as, you know, human beings that are experiencing life every single day, and shit happens. And one of those is maybe you get pregnant and not knowing where to turn in those moments.
Especially since how my mother was from a generation that is completely different than how it is now, especially since she lived in an area that didn't have signal, light, had to boil your water to get access to hot water. It's so different how she raised me and how I see the world now, because I know she loves me with all her heart. Yet I knew if I got up to tell her that I was pregnant, she'll still love me, but she'll see me in a different lens.
For me, I don't have like a specific time or like memory of when I was introduced to abortion, but I'm thinking probably around middle school, because I also had, you know, a sister, right, that got pregnant at around 18, and I was barely entering middle school. So it was just a matter of knowing about pregnancy and knowing, okay, she could do this, that, and the third. Those are the options that she has. I don't know. I feel like social media definitely played a big role in me even knowing about these things. But I remember I was abstinent in high school and arguing with folks in class about abortion. So it's always been something that I was always like, yes, everybody should have the choice. I didn't even know. I didn't even know anything about like intercourse or anything like that. And, you know, that's what I advocated for, because I know better.
The concept of being autonomous, about making your own decision, is what people continue to argue against the movement, as if they don't trust that young people know what decision they want to make over their body. When I hear you say that you had to convince a judge that you were mature enough to make a decision for yourselves, that today that is the same argument that holds when, you know, I've seen you all go testify at the Capitol. I see you all show up at the marches, and the anti-side says, it's about protecting the children. It's about the babies. And I was like, if it was really about, you know, quote unquote, the babies, we would be funding public school and free lunches and ensuring that they are able to grow in safe and healthy environments. That is protecting babies. It is also reforming access to guns. That is protecting babies, being able for me to tie my child's shoelace and let them go to school without fear that I might get a call later. That is actually protecting babies. And by babies, I also mean the people that are pregnant, right? Protecting their decision, protecting the next steps, right? What if this wasn't the time for them to have a child, but they want to have a child in the next 10 years? Are there things in place about them being prepared to, if they're going to be a single parent or they have a partner, right? Like, is there a way that there's not going to be an economic barrier or an educational barrier or a language barrier? And the list goes on of the barriers that people already have today to be a parent if they choose to. Let's take a quick break and we will come back with our guests from Jane's Due Process. So don't go anywhere. And we are back with Brenda and Serena from Jane's Due Process. A quick shout out to please support organizations like this who are doing on the ground work to support young people, Latinos, to ensure that our youth are being well taken care of for the future to come, because we know that this fight isn't just going to last the next 3 years or the next presidential election, which don't even get me started on that. Just the thought about there being 17 candidates on the ballot is enough for me to be sick. But going back, Serena and Brenda, as storytellers in your community, as storytellers in this movement, what is something, a learning moment or even an experience that reassured you about the work that you are doing today, or reassured you in the work that you want to do in the future?
I feel like for me, I believe a few months ago, we went to Austin and we got to pack repro kits for teens in different parts of Texas. And I feel like that moment for me, like it was very reassuring. I was very happy to do it, knowing that I'm helping other, you know, young people in Texas with a plan B, or, you know, just as simple as a pregnancy test or condoms. So it was just a very reassuring moment to me. And I was wondering why I was so happy to be packing repro kits like that. But I know why. And, you know, it's just the thought of helping others who are possibly in the situation that I may have been in the past. That's just very, very nice.
For me, it's honestly everything. A lot of elements have played into my story. My father wasn't really much in the picture. He was for a few years and then he did leave. So now my parents are legally separated. So I saw my mom take care of me and my sister. And I just saw how difficult it was for her, because there would be times where it would just be me and my sister for all day, and it would just, we'll just be with each other. Then I saw other people who had a child and saw how difficult it was for them, especially at a young age, and how they were raising it, especially trying to juggle school and work, how they had to drop out of work because of the child and how the father didn't want to be there. Custody battles are a whole different story that I do not want to get into. But all I do want to say with that is that it's so difficult as well, because I believe in Texas, it's more targeted towards the mothers, which to an extent I believe is right. But there are cases that the fathers are the best choice, yet they still somehow favor to the mothers, which I see that is super difficult, or the people who have birthed the child. So it's just every little thing. So now I can't see anything the same anymore. Now I just see families and I just wonder, what are their stories each time? What did they choose to become a mother? Or was it some experience that they couldn't choose and it was their only option to give birth to the child?
I see with what you both mentioned very heavily, right? From the repro kits, it's like that reassures me, because maybe some of those people are going to be in a position where I was at some years ago, right? And this is what I needed, that healing, that previous self, and what got us here. And wondering what the stories about other people in our communities are. Was this the best option for them and why? Not everybody has that deep compassion and empathy for what other people, regardless of their situation, may be. But they have that deep empathy for what the rest of their lives could be like. I have met some of the most compassionate, graceful, empathetic people of my life. And sometimes I wonder, how the hell do we get up every day? Another news alert, another something else happened in another state. And I wonder, how do we keep going? Why? And yet I sit with your stories and I hear, well, it's because what if that person needed that in this very moment? What if this is the best option for them? What could I do? And we're giving to others. But that's why I'm going to take this question and say, what are you giving to yourself? You're in the movement. You're on the ground. You're talking about this, living it, breathing it every day. How are you taking care of yourself?
In all honesty, for me, when I had my abortion, I went full robotic. I didn't process anything or anything like that. And for the past, I would like to say 3 years, I didn't even know what self-care means. Now I feel like that since I'm getting into this work, I'm actually embracing myself, because now this is me. This is my story. Nobody could change that. They could say all the stuff that they want, but in my heart, I know it's true that whatever I say, I believe in. So now I'm starting to learn self-care, which is really awesome. And I think this was a huge step for me, knowing that I could be a person that I would have liked to have when I was trying to get information about more abortion, when I was trying to look for help, suits me so much. And I feel like that's the best for me, because I know I have made a change. Even though I'm not there physically with them, I know somewhere, somehow, I did something.
I mean, for me, honestly, I feel like being able to help others who may have been in the same predicament as me or a similar situation as me is self-care. But, you know, I also, you know, just relax and read my books about feminism and things like that. I find that very, very soothing. Lately, I've been like going to like the bar. I mean, I can't drink or anything. I don't drink. I just sit down and read my book.
For me, I guess actually more specifically, I have been dipping my toes in a little bit of everything because I think that's the person I am. I would like to be a jack of all trades. So what I first started was gardening. Somehow I killed an aloe vera plant, which is crazy because they could survive under like any condition, but we don't get into that. I do have some mini roses growing, so I'm proud of that. I also started sewing, and I sewed a dress, but I didn't have the zipper, so I just never got back to that project. And now I'm tackling a huge project that I don't know how my mother's going to feel about it, because I would like to remodel her house, DIY.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah.
DIY. Okay. Listen, I am also known for killing succulents, so don't feel too bad about the aloe vera plant, okay? Even I'm trying to emulate best plant mommy energy, and my plants are having other ideas. Or maybe it's me that I forget to water them. I also want to remind folks that are interested, right, in maybe sharing their story, a story that they have never come with publicly, that maybe they have some, I don't even want to say shame, right? Because that takes on another connotation of like, why are we being taught to have shame of our stories to begin with? So as storytellers yourself and somebody that may be listening, feeling prepared or taking a step closer into sharing their story publicly, what would you like them to know?
For me, what I would like for you to know is that the choice you make was the right one, if you believe it was. You shouldn't have any shame or any guilt of what you believe or what you chose, because you chose with the information you had. You could always look back at it and say like, oh, I wish I would have made this other choice, but it's okay. You did what you thought was best with the information you had.
I love that. For me, I would say mapping out your story is a great way to tell it in the best way that you can. So if you're thinking about getting into storytelling and telling your story, definitely write it down, jot things down that you think you are comfortable sharing, the things that you're not comfortable sharing. All of that is extremely helpful. And just to piggyback off of what Brenda said, like I completely agree with that. Definitely think about the positive that came out of, you know, the circumstances that you were in and the choices that you made, right? So always think about the positive aspect of that, as that can also help with like shame or guilt you may be feeling about anything. So just think about the positives.
One of the things that I hear the most is exactly that. Think about how other folks need to hear that story as well in order to heal. I'm definitely a cynic. I'm like, why did it take me to come forward and share that story? Why does it have to be me to do this, right? Why couldn't it be somebody else? And another side of me says, but who else if not us? If it's not us, who nobody else is going to come to save us. Nobody else here is going to do the work the way we do it, because our experiences, our stories, our love for our community is what makes us different than anybody else that may be doing this kind of work, or anybody else that may want to advocate for this issue specifically, allowing young people to be determining what their futures look like based on themselves, because they are mature enough to make those decisions. And if they just need information, that information to be readily accessible for them. You know, the perils of like an immigrant child, right? Many of us have been our parents' translators and notaries and doctors many times over our ages. And what makes you think that we're not mature enough, right? That is not giving us that power, that autonomy, that ownership, that we do know what is best for us. I mean, I also wish that I had people like you made me feel less alone when I did want to learn about this. Right? When I instead, you know, the whole, I Googled everything because I didn't want to feel like I didn't have that information. But that takes a little bit of the human aspect of this conversation. Again, for listeners, if you live in a state where abortion is criminalized or there are legal challenges to seeking forms of reproductive health care, make sure that you are using safe methods of searching this online. And if you do not know what those methods are, do not worry. In our show notes, I will be putting what those websites are and ways to access them in a safe way for yourself and other people that may need it. Because that's the kind of shit we're dealing with right now, right? Like, I got to go on incognito and press to, I mean, I go into your website, right? Jane's DePross, and it says press escape twice if you want to be logged out of this session. That just cannot be what the future looks like for us. So before I ask you the last question, is there anything I didn't ask you that you would like to share with the audience?
We all love somebody who had an abortion, whether they have told you or not. As well as the, I feel like the education system should have taught us this. Of course, we have sex ed, but again, I didn't know about abortions until somebody I knew got pregnant, and that they're not banning abortions. They're banning safe abortions.
I mean, for me, don't be ashamed, right? I know it's easier said than done, but, you know, forget the stigma that these folks have placed on our communities and, you know, the decisions that we should have the right to make for ourselves. Like, you know, don't be ashamed of wanting to make a choice for you. Don't let anyone guilt you into thinking like, oh, you're making the wrong decision, or this isn't good, or you know, I know that a lot of families in the Latinx community, you know, they're Christian, Catholic. So don't allow for folks with religious beliefs change how you feel and, you know, what you think you should do if you feel like you're doing what's best for yourself.
Another thing that I would like to stress, going back to what Serena was saying, it shouldn't take so much just to make a choice. By this, I am referring to Rosie's Law, because her story was they got pregnant. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that when they got to a doctor, she couldn't deliver the child, and that they had to choose between her life or their life or the child's life. And it just frustrates me that they could have saved somebody's life. Like, they should have been able to make the choice for it. But I just think it's something that a lot of people should be looking into. It's Rosie's Law, and I just think it's a big staple of what I'm doing as well. There is a video that I would like to address that a lot of people should look into, because it summarizes the frustrations that we are talking about. And it's this Greg Avid commercial about how it's father and mother, they're in this clinic office, and the doctor comes in and he's saying that they had a miscarriage, and he's saying, okay, well, there's only one person who can make this decision. So he walks over to this phone that has a picture of Greg Avid on top of it, and he picks up the phone, and then I'll leave it there because I would like for everybody to go watch it. I found it on TikTok. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it's a really good video to summarize how frustrating all this is.
I will definitely make sure to link that, post it to make sure that they watch it. This is the reality for millions of people across this country, is this fact of not being able to make a self-autonomous decision for your own body because you got to go through the hurdles of politicians deciding what is best for you, even though they are never going to be in a situation like the ones that millions of people in this country have been. The decision, and you have made, both have made this abundantly clear, it's on us. We should be the ones to make the decisions for ourselves in our futures. We should have access to resources in order to make the best decision for ourselves. You shouldn't have to go through legislative hurdles in order to just be free. you know, free also is a very heavy topic because freedom for who? Do immigrants have the same access to these freedoms as other people? The economic hurdles that don't allow us to be completely free? The, you know, thinking about how there is no reproductive justice without racial justice, without economic justice, without immigrant justice, because all of that part of the conversation have to be at the crux of how do we ensure that we remove these barriers? The last question I have for you all is, what does Guerrera mean to you? And this can be from a definition to an anecdote to a person that you may feel inspired by that emulates the definition of Guerrera.
For me, I feel like Guerrera just means fighting on the right side of like history.
What Guerrera means to me is the choice I made was right for me, whether you agree or not.
Being unapologetic. I think that is a great way to define being a guerrera, being in the right side of history. That is also a way to define that warrior spirit, because I think to myself about our ancestors, our elders that have fought for many of the freedoms that we didn't think we would need to continue to fight in 2023, and the discussions that we're continuing to have. But I, like I mentioned, feel reassured in this moment to be in the space with both of you, to have this conversation about the work that you do, and for being guests of Guerreras, because honestly, the people that are listening to this show and the folks that will be learning about your organization are going to be inspired. And I know I'm going to see great things from both of you, because I already do, because I follow you and I see the work that you're currently doing and how badass you are. So thank you, Brenda and Serena, for being guests of Guerreras. And remember, everybody, you will have access to the show notes after today's episode, and we will link it everything on Substack. We will post it on our social media. So if you're not following us yet, what are you doing? Subscribe. Share us with your friends, donate to organizations like Jane's Due Process, share your story. And if not, show up with us, be accomplices in this movement, because we definitely cannot do this alone. We need everybody involved in this movement. So that is all for me. Thank you all. And I will catch you on the next episode.